Blog Talk Radio.
Broad Talk Live.
Give me fuel, give me fire, give me that which I desire.
Garage Talk Live. It is Tuesday, May 14th. Mother's Day was this past weekend, and racing was a little on the light side. There was no too much activity. Cup and trucks in Kansas. IndyCar in action. And I don't think NHRA was in action as well. Let me take a quick look. I didn't see anything on it, so ARCA is off until this coming weekend. And NHRA will be in action, I think, this weekend in Richmond. So, I didn't see any results listed. Results. Z-Max. Nope, this weekend will be Richmond. Well, actually, it's Virginia Motorsports Park, just outside of Richmond. For the Virginia NHRA Nationals, we can double-check the standings. I don't think anything's changed since we read them last week. Steve Torrance is in the number one spot. Brittany Force is in second, 96 back. They said top 10, make the playoffs. Doug Kalita is third, 115 back. That's a close battle there. Leah Pritchett in fourth. Clay Milligan in fifth, Mike Salinas sixth, Antron Brown seventh, eighth, Richie Crampton, ninth, Terry McMillan. And in making it into the top 10 is Austin Prock, but Scott Palmer is only a point behind him. So that can go either way. One final round, either first. That could swap pans in the first round of the next event. But that'll be your battle right there to see who survives the bubble blast. In the funny car, Robert Height still leads the points over Matt Hagen. John Force is in third. Hagen's 191 back. Force is 193 back. So there's a battle there, but J.R. Todd is in fourth. He's 207 back. So Tommy Johnson in fifth. I mean, you got a tight battle between second and fifth. Tim Wilkerson in sixth. Ronnie Capp seventh. Fast Jack Beckman eighth. Sean Langdon ninth. And Bob Tasca holding the top of the bubble. Cruz Pedregon is 64 out. So he's got a tough hill to climb to get in pro stock, which hasn't run in a few weeks in a row. Bo Butner is in the top spot, 140 over Alex Laughlin. Matt Hartford is third, 141 back. Jason Lyon fourth, 164 back. So you get a battle for second right there. Eric Enders, 186. Jed Coughlin, sixth, 200. So there's some gaps there. Seventh, Roger Brogdon. Greg Anderson, eighth. Not used to seeing him that low. Ninth, Derek Kramer. And tenth, Chris McGahey. In the pro stock bike, Andrew Hines and Eddie Krawick, 78 points apart in that order. Back on top. 10 back of them is, of Krawick is Hector Jr., Arana Jr., he's 88 back in third. And then defending champ Matt Smith, 207 back. Jerry Savoie. In fifth, Ryan Oler. Sixth, Karen Stouffer. Seventh, Joey Gladstone. Eighth, Hector Arana Sr. Ninth, and on the bubble, Angie Smith. But 14 points behind Angie. Well, 15 points behind Angie is Angel Sampe, the winningest woman in NHRA. And she's driving a Vance Hines Harley Davidson, so she's part of that team now, so you got to watch out for her. So this coming Sunday will be the final eliminations for the Virginia NHRA Nationals. TV schedule is, for those of you that can't make it out there, if you haven't been to an NHRA event, you got to give it a try. No, it's a Sunday, 7:30 to 10:30, so you won't miss a thing. A lot of racing going on this weekend next. Got the All-Star Race. So, you got ARCA this coming Sunday in Toledo. Tanner Gray, remember him? He's running in the ARCA series in the K&N West. He went from straight line to oval track. He is the defending pro stock champion. Defending. He just says, screw the NHRA, and off into stock car racing. Haley Deegan, driving for Venerini, as well as K&N for Bill McAnally, is taking her first laps at Toledo. Here's a little audio.
Haley Deegan, getting ready for your first ARCA Menards Series race at Toledo Speedway this week. And what are your first impressions of the racetrack now that you've been here for a day?
Yeah, I'm super excited, especially about my first race to be on the short track. I think it's going to be a really good race. The track looks like really fast, so it's going to be a fun short track race.
You've got a lot of experience with the K&N Pro Series on the West Coast. You've got wins on the West Coast. What does that mean to you to have those wins on your resume at this early point of your career?
I think it's really good for me just trying to prove myself early and then coming into the ARCA Series has best before. I don't want to go too quick. I get ahead of myself and people win every level that I'm at. So coming here, I'm going to learn a lot and do as much as I can to get good results.
When you come in as part of the driver development program, obviously there are a list of goals that you would like to do as a driver. I know one of those is going to be win this race. How do you prioritize what those goals are for a weekend, especially when you're making your debut?
Yeah, I think this is my first race. I'm baselining, learning where I'm at, learning where I'm at, stack up skills for everyone. And so once I get that baseline, I think we're just going to try to work up from there. Get better finish. Things first, kind of get like top five, get there, and then keep working.
I mean, with your record of success, it's not like you really need to lean on anybody to help show you how this is done, but you do have a lot of great experienced people here at Venerini Motorsports, including Billy Venerini, Frank Biffle, your teammates out on the racetrack. Who among that group have you gone to kind of help get your baseline up a little bit?
Yeah, I think everyone on the whole team is the best in the ARCA series. I think you could say yourself, too. There's just a lot of good guys here, a lot of good guys I can learn off of, especially drivers with a crew chief. Everyone has experience here that I can feed off of and get some information before I get to all these tracks, even when I'm there if I need help.
So your family has an X-Team's background. It's a BMX track right outside the gates over in Stern 1. We have a little delay over the weekend. Are you going to be tempted to go over there and have some fun?
Two-wheel thing, my thing. That's my dad. You can ask him.
Right. Thank you so much.
Yeah, no problem.
Really appreciate it. Thank you.
Haley Deegan. Watch this girl. She will be something. If she can find the right sponsorship package, and we know all about that, then there's a good chance she's got the talent. She's running with a good team in K&N. And now Venturini, who has a lot of success in the ARCA series. They've been around forever. Starting with Bill Venturini Sr., he used to run the ARCA series back when in the 80s and early, now in the 80s, and Billy, and he used to run it. So now they run the team, and they've had drivers like Natalie Decker, who finished up in the top 10 in points. Lilani Munter, who actually, I guess, only runs a few select races, hasn't done so well, but Haley should be the real deal here, and things go her way. She could be one of the big top drivers in NASCAR. Hopefully she'll catch the eye of Junior Motorsports and or some good team in NASCAR Xfinity Series or the trucks. She's driving Toyota. Who knows? Maybe Kyle Busch will put it in one of his vehicles. You never know. She'll be being groomed. She could be groomed for the Gibbs team. So look for that. That'll be this weekend. For the Sioux Chief Power 200 at Toledo. Let's check the standings real quick. Travis Braden looking to increase his points lead. Michael Self in second. Brett Holmes in third. Joe Graff Jr. fourth. Christian X in fifth, Tommy Vi Jr. sixth, Brad Smith seventh, Chandler Smith eighth, Corey Gibbs ninth, Ty Gibbs ninth, Corey Heim is in your top 10. And you got to watch guys like Harrison Burton. He usually runs part-time there. They've already run five races. Your top guys battling for a championship. Or your top four, they've run every event. Well, Tommy Vi somehow. Christian X is fifth, but he's only started four races, but he's got a win in five attempts, so I don't know what happened there. Something's not adding up anyway. I guess he didn't make the race in one of the races, but he's got a win, so helps your points. Three top fives, three top tens. Well, if you get a top five, you're automatically a top ten. So there's your points leaders right now. So ARCA in action this coming weekend. NHRA in action this coming weekend. IndyCar. The IndyCar Grand Prix at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway Road Course. They run two races there, one on a squiggle, one on the oval. This one is the first one. Memorial Day will be the big one. The vaunted Indianapolis 500. We're 2 weeks away from that. So we have the Memorial Day 1100, 500 miles at Indy, 600 miles at Charlotte. I haven't seen anybody trying to pull double duty. Kurt Busch being the last one to do that. Had a good finish in the Indy 500, then had some problems with his car in the Coke 600. But in the Indy Grand Prix, Simone Pagino took the checkered flag. Scotty Dixon was second. Jack Harvey was third. Matthias Leist was fourth. Spencer Pigot or Peugeot. I don't know. With a name like Spencer, it wouldn't be Peugeot. I'd say Pigot. Pigot. I don't know. Was fifth. Ed Jones, sixth. Will Power, seventh. Felix Rosenquist is eighth. Graham Rahal is ninth. Santino Ferrucci rounds out the top ten. Marco Andretti was 13th. The only reason why I say that, he was on Jimmy Fallon with Mario and his father, Michael. I guess talking about the upcoming Indy 500 and three generations of Andretti's in racing. And you can't forget John Andretti, who actually was, I think, the first one to do both races, the Indy 500 and the Coke 600, who's battling cancer. We all have prayers for him. So the Andretti family, big in racing, staying with IndyCar. John was the only one, I guess, to make the jump over to stock cars. Did drive for Richard Petty for a while. But I did get to interview him a couple times at Dover. He's the lesser known of the big three, Mario, Michael, and Marco. Well, the 3M Andretti's there. Just made that up, folks. Anyway, was three cautions for a total of 15 laps. Looks like a bunch of lead changes. 11 lead changes amongst six drivers. It's pretty good for IndyCar. Usually one guy leads most of the racing, and it changes a couple of times from that. Time of the race, 2 hours, 28 minutes, average speed. And they have 10 lead changes. Average speed, 103, 15 caution laps, three cautions for 15 laps. Fastest lap was 125 miles per hour by Patricio Award. Fastest leader lap was 125.257 on lap three by Felix Rosenquist. Fastest lap was 125.801. So there's a difference there of 6 tenths of a mile an hour, 5.5 tenths if you want to narrow it down on lap four by Mr. O'Ward. Your points, standings, Joseph Newgarden leads the top spot, Scotty Dixon second, Alexander Rossi third, Simone Pagino fourth, Takuma Sato fifth, Will Power sixth, Graham Rahal seventh, eighth is Sebastian Bourdais, Ryan Hunter-Reay is ninth, and James Hinchcliffe rounds out the top ten. Mr. Honda commercial. Always doing the Hondas. There's our got for IndyCar. Let's get on to the battle in Kansas. Truck Series in action. Ross Chastain takes the win. We had him on years ago. He drove for Brad Kay in the Truck Series. Ben Rhodes comes home second. I think we had him on as well. I don't know. I've interviewed so many people. It's hard to remember. Todd Gilliland in the third spot. Austin Hill in fourth. Brandon Jones fifth. Matt Crafton started from the pole, finished sixth. Grant Enfinger seventh. Brett Moffitt eighth. Ninth is Riley Herbst. And tenth is Harrison Burton. He was just in the ARCA race last time out. He's jumping back and forth. Female women, Jordan Anderson, 13th. He's really coming along. We've had him on a few years ago, but we can get him back on. Angela Ruck, who used to be Angela Cope. That's her, Ruck is her married name. 16th, good for her. There's other past guests. Josh Rayon. Finished 20th. Jennifer Joe finished 23rd. Natalie Decker in the race started 15th. Got caught in a wreck, wound up 25th. Race took 2 hours, 1 minute and 41 seconds. Chastain won the first victory in 66 NASCAR Gander Outdoor Truck Series races. First victory and seventh top 10 in 2019. His first victory and first top 10 in three races at Kansas. With the win, there were 22 lead changes amongst 9 drivers, 6 cautions for 39 laps. 2 stage conclusions, so 4 incident cautions. With the points, Grant Enfinger leads the points. He doesn't have any race wins. Brett Moffitt is second. Stuart Friesen is third. Ben Rhodes fourth. Fifth, Johnny Sauter with a win. Matt Crafton is sixth. Austin Hill seventh with a win, so they'll move up in the seeding. Harrison Burton is eighth. 8 people make the playoffs. I do not see Ross Chastain. He must not be running for points, so he stole a win. Matter of fact, let me go check that out. Yep, Indy Penn. He's running for Xfinity points. As far as owner points, Kyle Busch Motorsports with the truck, 51 truck door sport racing with the 98. 98, I do believe, is Grant Enfinger. So, then Nice Motorsports, and then with the 45 truck. Who's running that one? Ross Chastain. Motor points. I think that's a shared ride right there. So I'm not seeing anything other than him. He's in 55th in the driver points, but I said he's ineligible because he's running for the Xfinity points. Anyway, let's hear what he had to say. And here he is with his owners and with his owners, his crew chief isn't there.
Team Melons. Did anything happen tonight? Yeah. Yep.
As you can see, we are joined by tonight's race winner, driver of the number 45 True North Paul Jr. Design Chevrolet, Ross Chastain, along with crew chief Bill Gold and owner Al Neese. We'll open up for questions. Please raise your hand, and we'll bring a mic your way, state name and affiliation. We'll hear your questions. We'll start with Jerry.
Jerry Jordan, King of the Tire Sign at Ross. I think I know the answer to this, but talk about your emotions and what's going through your head right now with this win.
Excitement, tears. I choked up in part of the interview out there in Victory Lane. Blew tires out on it, doing my burnout. Did a little better this time than last time. So, yeah. And this stuff is so hard to do. Like, we all know it, but until you go through it, it's what American or sports in the world is all about. Like, comebacks and underdogs. And I've been called an underdog my whole career, and I'm tired of that. I get so sick of hearing that. I know they mean well when they say it, but, man, I just want to win. And that's why I race everything I can. And this is so awesome. We're finding one. I don't know. Somehow it went missing. So I'm going to go bust one on the track tonight. It's tradition. I'll find one, and there'll be videos of it.
Chris, at ChristianICatchNights.com. Ross, you know, you've been preaching all along that everything happens for a reason, and in the dark days that you went through this night, seeing how it happened, your emotion, everything that you've been given opportunity since then, it definitely could all worth it.
I don't know what's worth it or not. I just know that it's what I've wanted since I was 12 years old, since I started racing. I wanted to be a race car driver, and I wanted to be successful and be competitive, and once I won my first race at 14 years old, that's all I wanted to do. And I didn't win a lot growing up, but I won probably 50 races. And then I get to NASCAR, and I realized day one, practice one at IRP in 2011, like how hard this was going to be because I was the slowest truck there in my first time. And we went on to finish 10th that night, and it was, just so much learning. And this is what I know, open wheel is a different thing with Indy and F1, but this is what every person in America that's a race car driver is working towards. These two guys were racers, like he drove sprint cars, like he wanted to be a race car driver, and so from us to be successful together as a group, and them stick by me through December and January, and now like no, I'm going racing, I want you to claim points, and we didn't do that, man. We won, like it all worked out for a reason. Like if you know, you don't know how else it would have worked out, but I wouldn't trade anything for this win. Because of what we have all been through, and it hasn't always been easy for Al and his team and Phil, and I've raced against Phil for 3 years in the Xfinity Series and never really even knew him. I mean, we knew of each other, and he probably tested me a few times, but racing his car too hard. But I just want to race, and I just want to be successful.
Al, could you talk about what this win does to you? Your team has sometimes been called an underfunded team, a team that doesn't have, you know, the components that they thought that you guys could get to Victory Lane, and then boom, you put Ross in the Chastain, and you guys are unbeatable. In a sense.
Well, no, that's the glamorous version, but it's what Al and Cody Efall did after we ran they ran two full trucks all year last year, and I ran a third one in three races, and then over the off season, Justin retired, and that was really cool to work with him at the end of the year, and Austin moved on, and wished the best for all them, but it was kind of a clean slate. And Cody realized that, you know, he wanted to step back, or he wanted to run the team, and he brought in Phil, his old Roush buddy. They've been Roush cronies for 25 years. No, you're not that old, but no, it's Phil. He was like, I'm telling you, Phil Gould is the guy. He's the guy. And then Lonnie Rush comes in from Pratt with Chevy, and or Kaz or whatever the business is called. But he comes in from Chevy, gives us Lonnie Rush, and the team is like the dream team. I mean, it's like we're all. I feel like we were all a bunch of misfits because we all kind of left, got pushed. We didn't leave. We got pushed out of somewhere else, end up here. And, man, it was just lined up like stars lined, God's good. And we've been talking like we could win. We took this truck to Texas and thought we were going to lap the field, and we didn't. We had big issues with the truck, and they got them fixed. And we've been sideways all day today. Obviously, it was loose on that last run, the last longer run when I was running second, and then I about wrecked. And then we fire off on the final restart, and it's tight. And I'm like, well, thank goodness, but now I can't pass Dewey. So that's just, I don't know why it worked out and why he ran out of gas, but I'm glad that got laid out for us.
Go to Lee next, then Brian. Then Bob.
Lee Spencer, RavenVoice.com. I've got two questions. First of all, Ross, what's going through your mind when you see the 52, you know, get that little shake and you know, because I'm sure Phil's telling you that he's in a precarious situation with fuel, but when he finally just starts dropping back like a rock, what's going through your mind?
Well, he said it when the caution came out and we were fourth, I guess. He said when the second and third took each other out, he said the 52 took two tires and he's low on fuel. He's low. He said he wasn't going to make it by three laps or whatever. But I honestly forgot all about the fuel. I just knew I got so tight. I was just trying not to knock the fence down with the right front, where the previous run I was trying not to knock the fence down with the right rear. So I don't know why it swung like it did, but happy it did. Rocky, our spotter, was actually the one talking when it happened. He was already keyed up when the 52 sputtered, and he just kept talking, and he kept getting higher and higher and higher voice level. And then he just started saying, don't mess up, because that's the only reason we were going to give it away.
And was it you that came over the radio and said, you told us that if you came here, you would win for us?
I didn't. They won't. They cut my radio off. They won't let me talk to him anymore. I didn't say anything on the radio.
He was busy celebrating.
Was that you, Phil?
No,
oh, okay.
What'd they say?
Somebody said you promised if you came and raced for us, you would
yeah,
win.
Yeah, Rocky, that was a spotter. Yeah, because over the – I don't know when Rocky came on. I ran a race or two for him maybe last year, and then I think Rocky came on and did one of the last few races we did together last year, and he kind of asked what I thought. I was like, we'll win. Like, we will. Like, and it was a hard sell. To everybody on my team. I mean, I call it my team. It's outside of Nice. It's CGR. It's Chevrolet. It's Premium. It's Johnny Davis. It's Colleague. It's Nutrien Ag Solutions. It's so many people. And so many people were against me running all these races because, I mean, you're going to get tired. Like, after the Dover truck race last week, I was so tired. I was more tired then than I was after the Xfinity or the Cup race. My truck was that hard to drive last week. So they were worried I would get tired. Luckily, I don't feel like I have. I feel like I still have so far to go as a race car driver. I knew we could win, and I just had to push through the off season because I got a lot of flight. Yeah, now I can take this back, show them that I could see the light. I just had to prove it.
Brian and then Bob.
There you go. Ross Chastain, his owner and his crew chief, taking the win. Another guy who likes to drive everything. But they're worried about him getting tired. Oh, come on. These guys drive. Kyle Busch runs three races a weekend, and Kenny Schrader did it up until he stepped down. I mean, there's guys that run everything. Then they go race dirt during the week. So, but anyway, the next event will be the North Carolina Education Lottery 200. That'll be this Friday night, May 17th. 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time on Fox Sports 1. So if you're not there, I know who is going to be there. My two little friends, NASCAR twins, Brittany and Ashley. They get their vacation, and that's their race away from home that they go to. Their home track is New Hampshire, and they go to that one. But last year they went down to Martinsville. for the October race, and I was that close, but not close enough. I thought they were going to head to Bristol this year, but they're going to the All-Star weekend. Catch up with some old friends they have in the garage area, because they're always in the garage area. I'll look for them to post their picks. I think I'll have to talk to them and say, why don't you get your own fan page? I mean, they might as well, but anyway, two young ladies that are diehard race fans. Let's see if I can talk them into going to an NHRA event. They think NASCAR is fun. Wait till they get that feeling of nitro cars taking off at the starting line. If you haven't been there, you gotta go. I've been there. And there's nothing like it. I've been to plenty of NASCAR, Cup, Xfinity, Truck, IndyCar, Dirt Track. Just go to one NHRA Mellow Yellow event. And they'll be close by. Well, not close by. I don't know what's closer. They'll be in Dinwiddie County, which is about a 4 or 5 hour drive, and Charlotte is a 3 hour drive. I guess Charlotte's closer. But anyway, that's where they're at. On to the Cup Series. I'm not going to make any predictions, picks this week, because it is the All-Star event, the Monster Energy NASCAR All-Star Race. They'll have that's listed for 8, but they'll have the All-Star Open, which that'll be the last chance for somebody to win and move into the All-Star event, as well as fan votes. So the last it was 3 or 4 drivers that moved on. Sorry, folks, I had to sneeze. I had to turn the mic off. Anyway, that being said, the Cup race. Kevin Harvick did win the pole. But taking home the checkered flag was another Ford, Brad Kay. Takes the win, did not lead any stages, so he only gets 5 playoff points. Your stage winner was Chase Elliott, won stage 2, and Kevin Harvick, who started on the pole and won stage 1. But Alex Bowman was 2nd, Eric Jones was 3rd, so he had Ford, Chevy, and Toyota as your top 3. That's what NASCAR really likes to see, is all 3 manufacturers up near the front. They don't care who wins as long as they're all there. Chase Elliott in the 4th spot, Clint Bowyer 5th, Jimmy Johnson. He's starting to get his groove back. He's in 6th. Remember, he does not have Chad Knaus as his crew chief this year. So there's a whole bit of, what do you call, chemistry that has to be reconcocted. Figure it used to be Knaus and Johnson. Since Johnson came into the Hendrick Motorsports, and now they sent Chad over to one of the younger guys to help bring them along. Kurt Busch come home 7th. Kyle Larson 8th. Tyler Reddick 9th. Good run for Tyler. Not a Cup regular, and Chris Buescher rounds out the top 10. Your pole sitter Harvick was 11. He led 104 laps, 5 times for that. Your second biggest leader was Bowman. The second place, 3 times for 63 laps, and Chase Elliott led 5 times for 45 laps. Like I said, he finished 4th. Race was 3 hours, 6 minutes, and 9 seconds. Average speed, 131.023 miles an hour. Margin of victory, 0.205 seconds, 271 laps. They did go overtime. I think it's 267 for regulation on a mile-and-a-half track for 400 miles. With the win, Keselowski's 30th victory in 353 Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series races. Of course, I think he won back in the Sprint Cup Series, his first one. He won his first championship then. This is his third victory in 6th top 10 this year. And his second victory in 10th top 10 in Kansas. So he's got a nice little streak going at Kansas. Bowman is third top 10 in 8 races at Kansas, and it's his third top 10 this year. So he's taking over for Dale Jr. in the 88. And he's doing pretty good for himself. Eric Jones, his third top 10 in 6 at Kansas. So let's check the points. 16 guys for the championship. Logano leads the points. He's got a small points lead over second place Kyle Busch. But the thing is, where did Kyle finish? That's the one thing I didn't see him in the top. Oh. 30th. Oh, he had a rough day. 10 laps down. Not like Kyle to have a rough day. That bad. Something happened. But anyway, that helped Logano gain a few points. The only difference here, Kyle Busch 3 wins, Logano 1 win. Harvick is in 3rd with 0 wins. Chase Elliott in 4th with 1 win. Brad Kay, 3rd win, moves him in the seeding up a bit. That'll put him 2nd. Then you have Denny Hamlin in 6th, and Martin Truex Jr. in 7th with 2 wins apiece. Eighth is Kurt Busch, Clint Bowyer 9th, Ryan Blaney in 10th, Eric Amarillis 11th, Alex Bowman in 12th, 13th is Daniel Suarez, Eric Jones. In 14th, Kyle Larson in 15th, and on the bubble, Jimmy Johnson, who's in the playoffs. He's got 7 championships. He's looking for number 8. He doesn't have any in the Monster Energy version of the Cup Series. All his are Sprint Cup trophies. Maybe one Nextel before Sprint bought them out, but they're the same looking thing. But he's what? He's 12 points. Newman is only 8 points behind him in 17th, so there's a bubble fight going there. Let's hear from our winner and his crew chief, Greg Keselowski and Paul Wolf.
We are now joined by the winner of tonight's Digital Ally 400. Driver of the number 2 Worth Ford, Brad Keselowski, and crew chief Paul Wolf. If you have a question, please raise your hand. We'll bring you a microphone. Please state your name and affiliation before the question. We'll go Brian and Lee.
Brian, start with Speedway Media. Brad, I think at some point this season you said that Kansas would kind of determine on where the package would fit. So how would you, happy are you with the package, and where do you think it will go for the rest of the season?
Well, it's hard to say. I'm sorry, I never heard your name. There's a fan running. I can't hear hardly anything.
Briar Starr with Speedway Media.
Well, Briar, I think, it's hard to say where it'll go, but, I feel like the season breaks down in the thirds, and maybe I'm repeating myself to some of the people in the room, but, you have your first third, your second third, and then, of course, the final part with the playoffs, and With that in mind, Kansas is kind of like, to me, a break point between the end of the first third of the season and the beginning of the middle stretch. And I think we really see kind of things kind of settle out by then. You know, the West Coast swing at the start of the season, there's a lot of comes and goes, and trying to understand the rules and the new and all the engineering behind it is a little bit tough. But when we get to this part of the season, I think you really have to shine, because this is what you've got. So it's nice to be able to win right here today. And of course, it's always nice to win. But in light of those thoughts or beliefs, I guess it's a good sign for us for sure.
Lee, Bob, and then Jeff.
Lee, I think it's – here we go. Coming at you.
Nick with the assist.
Yeah, thank you. Lee Spencer, RacingBoys.com. I'm just kind of curious where you came from, because you started fourth, but then you guys dropped back, and you were like in attack mode over those last 26 laps. And with the car set up, I guess, you know, Paul even, with the car set up for night, and, you know, can you talk about that restart where you got like 7 spots in 5 laps?
Yeah, it was pretty cool. But no, I think Paul and the team, they made some great adjustments to the car. I was struggling a little bit before that, and with about 100 laps to go, roughly, the car really started to come together. Before that, I felt like I was kind of hanging on in that 10th to 15th place range, and we just worked on the car, or the team worked on the car. I sat in the driver's seat and watched. But they got it dialed in where it needed to be, and then I was able to be aggressive and make moves. So kudos to them.
It was a tough night. I mean, we were off quite a bit to start the race, and I think to Brad's point, you know, we're far enough along in the season now where it seems like a lot of guys are starting to figure out where they want to be. You know, we won some races early in the season, and I think the mile and a half early in the year, we were pretty strong. I think all the Penske cars were, but you know, now you look and Stuart Haas cars and the Hendrick cars are really strong. So it's a lot. None of these races are easy to win by any means, but it's tough right now. Tonight was a tough night, and you weren't going to get away with a car that was off a little bit, and that's where we were at the start of the race. Our balance wasn't right. We couldn't keep the throttle down, and we worked hard. It took a while. The car wasn't responding early on, and like Brad said, I think after the second stage or the final 100 laps, we finally got it tight enough. Where we were able to put some good laps together, and then it's just working the draft and all those things on the restarts, which we were able to do really well at the end.
Bob Hockers, Fox Sports. I know there was some craziness that kind of jumbled the lineup, but there were 7 Chevys in the top 10. Do you view them as having improved at all, and do you see them as maybe a more of a factor as far as teams and teams to be?
The 88 the last 2 weeks has looked very, very strong. He looked behind him here today very, very strong. I think they're definitely starting to hit their stride for sure, and we can't let our guard down.
Go Jeff, Nick, Jerry.
When you're chasing Bowman down like that, is it any different with this package than it would be in like a more traditional package? Like, is the mentality the same, or are you having to try to force him into a mistake more? Like, how does that go?
Yeah, I mean, it feels different in some ways, and it feels, Jeff, the same in others. You know, I think I ran the last 20 or 30 laps wide open, and in a lot of ways that's frustrating because, it felt like before, at least when you were lifting, like there was something you could maybe do different. But when you're running wide open behind somebody and you can't make the pass, like, so that it's frustrating, but on the other side, it actually is just a touch easier to pass in some ways, too, because the draft helps pull you back to somebody and all those things. So it's just different. I don't know if there's a right or a wrong. I felt like going into this race that this would be a good, especially with it being a night race and being cool temps, this would be a strong showing for these rules and for the ability to pass and do those things. Obviously, I had him a little biased because I won the race, but I felt like it was. I feel like you saw the cars run closer than they probably ever have here, and saw some pretty good battles throughout the day. And that's definitely because of the rules package. It has its strengths and weaknesses, and if there's going to be a strength, it's going to be races like this, and I feel like it delivers.
Nick Bromberg, Yahoo Sports. Given the racing that happened over the last 40 laps after the restarts, it sure feels like at some point at the end of the season, before the end of the season is over, someone's going to get wrecked throwing a block near the front of the field. Has
sure.
the conversation surrounding blocks changed in terms of how you view blocking someone on the racetrack, and is that going to be simply how it is going forward?
Well, I think, Nick, that it's the word block gets maybe used sometimes fairly, sometimes unfairly. I always feel like a block is when you move down in front of somebody who has a run that's fast enough to pass you. I don't think of blocking when you're switching lanes in front of a car that's slightly faster in order to get the draft off of them, because you can get a draft being in front of someone just like you can get a draft being behind someone. But it's hard because, much like in your passenger car, you're making those judgments in split seconds and you're using a mirror to do it, which naturally doesn't give you great vision. Distorts your vision. And so when you make those moves, you don't always know if you're making it as a draft or if you're making it as a block. But you have to make it. If you don't, you're just going to easily get passed. So, yeah, you're going to see some wrecks like that. That's just part and parcel with these kinds of rules and another added challenge.
Jerry Jordan, KickingStarts.net. This being your third one on the season, is this where you – thought you'd be, where you expected to be as far as in the rankings so far?
I don't really probably put it that way. I'm happy to have three wins at this point in the season. I'd be happier to have four. I just want to make the most out of each and every weekend, each and every opportunity, and the chips will fall where they fall from there.
There you have Brad Keselowski on his win and other things. There you have it. This weekend, the Monster Energy NASCAR All-Star Race and Open at 8 p.m. at Charlotte Motor Speedway. $1 million the prize. No points. No playoff strategies. It's all or nothing for the big dollars. I remember when it used to be $500,000. Now it's $1 million. I'll tell you. I think if I was a driver, I don't know how many media things I'd do. I like to talk, so. I'd probably get hung up on one place. But anyway, so it should be a fun weekend. And then the weekend after that will be Memorial Day weekend, I think. Yes. So, we got a lot of days left in May after that one. Usually Memorial Day is the 27th. So, that being said, of course, the racing will be Sunday. We'll be back next Tuesday with a wrap-up of NHRA. ARCA IndyCar's off for a couple of weeks. The All-Star event, the Truck Series race, and Xfinity don't come back until Memorial Day weekend. They'll run Saturday. Cup Series will run Sunday. So, anyway, that's our show for today. Hope you all had a good time. I'm Vinny. And we'll see you all next week.
Police officer gets out. And
Bye now. Oh, before I go, didn't sign off yet. You can find us here on blogtalkradio.com/garagetalklive, all one word, one slash. Like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, Garage Talk Live, at Garage Talk Live on Twitter. I don't have an Instagram for the show, so that'll do much picture taking. I don't take any, really, so. Anyway, see you all next week. Have fun this weekend. Stay dry. Weather's supposed to be nice and cool, at least for the most part of this week. So that about does it for me. Bye now.